that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this 17th day of September 2016, live from the Radio Ranch. The sun is just getting up good behind the barn, and shining its light out on this beautiful morning. But we welcome you here, and good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And I guess I'm going to have to change my name, because we got Josh this morning, too. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
That's like those reality shows where everybody's name starts with a J. I think there's a couple of those on, but... Well, this is a reality show, the real reality, because we've got our Bibles open this morning, and we are Christian men that love the Lord and are obedient to the Lord, have repented and been baptized and washed in His blood and been born again, and you know, you can't get any more real than that. But that's who we are. We thank you for joining us out there, whether you're joining us on shortwave or internet or audio satellite or listening to the archives later during the week or during the year, but we welcome you. We welcome you here. And Jason, would you open us up in prayer?
Certainly. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask for your blessing upon this prayer meeting this morning. And we pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father. And we just come before you and we just pray that we can be a blessing to you, Father, and that we can put a smile on your face. We pray, Father, that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us, and we pray, Father, that as we go into this 91st day today, Father, that you just allow us to have a sweet Sabbath rest, Father. And Father, we pray that all of our works and everything that we do and everything that comes out of our mouth may be edifying to you, Father, and we pray that you just do a mighty work through us, that you allow us to be a light into a dark world, Father, and to shine that light forth, and to, Father, to spread the gospel message, and we pray that you assist us with that. We pray that you assist us with all the things that we that we do and that you redeem time for us so that we can get the things done that we need to get done and would like to get done, Father. We pray that you just give us the time that we need, Father, and that you assist us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Josh, we welcome you on. We sure appreciate you getting up and joining us this morning. And anything particular you'd like to bring us from? How's the flood been down there? You guys have had your hands full here this this summer, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Well, I got up this morning and drank some coffee and prayed that the Lord would give me some scripture for this morning, you know, to go along with what we talk about. And man, he did, and it was found in Proverbs chapter 3. Starting verse 1 said, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from you. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects his son whom he delights." And, you know, you're talking about that flooding. Jason and I are of the opinion, we've had these conversations at length, that we don't believe in luck. We don't believe in things just, happening. You know, there's not a chance. We're not on a big circle that's spinning around where things land, they land. You know, God's in control of everything, and he loves those that he chastens. And, This flood situation that we've been dealing with is that, you know, it's and in senses, you know, I guess in an earthly way, the way men look at it, it can be a severe discipline. But in the way that we look at it, in the way that human life is more valuable than riches and what have you, it was just a gentle whisper or a pat on the behind. You know, there were, and this is going by the numbers here on the news, but there were roughly 500,000 people affected by the floods, over 150,000 homes, and there were 15 fatalities related to that. And I think about, you know, a lot of these homes had 8-10 foot of water in them.
Wow.
And people were having to be rescued, pulled out in boats. The water came up in the middle of the night. You know, there was no hurricane that we've been watching in the Gulf for hours or days. There was no warning whatsoever, you know, and it just massive flooding like this. So for there to be that little loss of life with that many people affected and that many homes flooded and bridges and roads washed out, you know, that's a merciful God right there.
Amen. Amen.
From what I understand, it was, they're calling it the thousand-year flood, and they've never had a flood like it before. 24 hours, there were some places that got 24 inches of rain, and other places they got up to 31.
Yep. Right here in Watson, which is above Denham Springs, where we were talking about earlier, they had 31 inches of rain, 24 hours.
Well, and I think it's encouraging too. One of the things that, you know, that I've learned through what you've shared with me and some stuff that I've seen too is, you know, just how, you know, they, well, first of all, they didn't want people to get the assistance they needed, and they tried to stop people, and they tried to, you know, stop. There was people that came to the rescue from all over the place, bringing boats and supplies and buying out shelves at the Walmarts and setting them up and giving stuff away. You know, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
It was, as I was telling you earlier, Jason, when you see as much going on as we do, which we definitely don't see at all, we want to see, but you know, you see a lot of things that are wrong in the world, and they paint a picture that they purposely paint a picture to try to make it look worse than what it is, and I know that, and they do that to try to beat us mentally, and we can't let them do that. But when you see a situation like this, in which that flooding was so widespread, and there were so many people affected, and I personally saw people going around the stores and buying up, you know, driving an hour away, and so they could find stores with things and buying enough stuff, all they could carry in their vehicle, and then bringing it and putting it in a boat and carrying it to people that were stranded, you know, that couldn't be rescued yet, and bring it to people in shelters and all. I tell you what, it made me feel good. You know, it filled my heart with joy. Just be thankful that our people still have God's word. They still got that love for their neighbors and their heart, and they wasn't worried about the money that it cost them or their time or taking off from work. They just did it because they knew that there were people in need. And, you know, that's special, and I didn't know that there were as many people out there that still were that way, whether you want to call them good old boys or, you know, because it wasn't necessarily, there were a lot of churches, but there was a whole lot of people that didn't even claim to be Christians, you know, that were just good old country folk that were doing whatever they could do. And they were met with so many different obstacles. A lot of people, which they've coined the term Cajun Navy, but a lot of people that volunteered, that, you know, bringing their boats in to help rescue these tens of thousands of people that, you know, were stranded and affected whenever they would come to the staging areas where the National Guard or wildlife crews were set up. They would turn them around and tell them, no, you can't go out there. You can't go take people who aren't qualified, this and that. And so they just turned around and went back up the road, back off the side of the road, and watched the boats in the ditches and went and did what they came to do, you know. And one of you all had brought up about with the registration. Were y'all reading out of an article, or was it just knowledge?
No, I think I'd mention that because I you know, we see that out here sometimes. You know, you have a little something, and you have people that just have the law of God written on their heart, and they want to sign up and help. But you know, if you haven't gone through the CERT training, and you're not a member of Search and Rescue, and you haven't jumped through all these hoops and given your social and blood type and everything else and been background checked, then you know the feds who are controlling it all the way down to the small town level anymore. Like we talked earlier, they want to control it, and they don't want. But if you're not signed up and registered, you know, then they no, we've got it under control. Just, you know, go back to your homes; everything's fine. And you know, they want you all signed up and stuff before that. And I think you mentioned it before the program, Josh. Is it's all about control. It's what the you know, what the enemy wants.
But you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, Jason and I experienced that several years ago when, remember, Jason, when that guy rolled his truck just down the road there and the stupid woman sheriff showed up and the kid was pinned underneath the truck. And we whipped it around because we just saw him roll it. And it was me and Jason. And the kid's pinned under the truck and screaming and everything else. And the cop's telling us, get away from him. You can't do anything. Finally, we just said, oh, the hell with you. And we, with the adrenaline and with the grace of God, Jason and I were able to lift the front of that truck enough to get that kid to come out of there. You know, and then she was all upset at us because we disobeyed an order. And this
exactly.
And that. She said, well, you do what you got to do. We did what we got to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was to the point where we thought they were going to come or try and arrest us after that.
Yeah,
but
utter stupidity.
Well, the bill that they are wanting to introduce that requires the registration not only do they have to register, but they've also got to pay a fee, you know, a yearly fee to be part of that rescue, and they got to go through the proper training. And, you know, we're talking about thousands of people that, that came out to help, you know, with their personal equipment. And, you know, there's no organized force of any kind that that could coordinate an effort like that and save those people like all these individuals did with their bass boats and their bay boats and party barges. You know.
Right. Using their own time, putting their own lives in danger, using their own fuel, not asking for any kind of workers' comp or fuel reimbursement or anything, just because the law of God, to love your neighbor as yourself, because that's written on their heart. And, you know, you when it comes down to it, when the you-know-what hits the fan, it's good to see that that did, you know, that law overrode man's law, overrode, and it does. And I know exactly what you mean, Josh. It is encouraging to see that. We had a big fire here back in 2012, the Squirrel Creek fire, and pretty big fire for our area. And I can remember we were out on it one day, and here a big 4,000-gallon water truck drives up. And a guy hops out, and he's not in any fire clothes or anything. He's a local ranger. And he said, "Hey, I thought you could use some water, you know. And you're darn right we could use some water. We set up some tanks, and, you know, and, you know, and we saw that, you know. The people that were bringing food and supplies and things down to the little, you know, local volunteer fire department. We had so much stuff. We still have bottled water from then, and that was in 2012. The people brought so much stuff. We had 300 firefighters in.
My understanding that the government's response on this disaster was much worse than Katrina. And had those people not done what they'd done, the fatalities would have been astronomical.
There was very little response, you know, by any government agency. And my thoughts on that are is they held back because they wanted to see those numbers. They wanted to see people turn on each other and cannibalize, and that would have been newsworthy, you know, if they'd have had that. And then people would have feared, and, oh, thank God for FEMA because we can't make it without them, you know. And, you know, and it's no secret that, you know, in the South we are more conservative.
Yes.
You know, there's a, just always have been, you know. And we're not the kind of people that, that they get behind them easily. I'm trying to find the most PC way to say that, but put it like this: there's not many Obama supporters down here, and that translates into the system in general. But you know, whenever they finally did come in, and you know, the local authorities had shelters in place, and then the Red Cross came in and took over the shelters. Well, for the days leading up to that, people from up here in my area and other areas that wasn't affected by floods, they would cook big pots of red beans and rice or jambalaya or this or that, enough to feed hundreds of people, and they would carry it down there and set up on the side of the road and give it away. You know, and they were feeding neighborhoods like that, people just on their own. You know, a few people put together and get the money up for it, and then somebody else would cook it, and they take it down there.
Praise the Lord.
We're feeding piles of people like that. Well, whenever when the Red Cross came in, they then they set up these shelters with, you know, little old ladies from churches and stuff that are still bringing the food down there, and they would bring it to the shelters. Well, the Red Cross would turn it away. They wouldn't take that food and distribute it. You know, the people had cooked and all. Anything that wasn't, I don't think it was even, I know it had to be in the package, but I think you may have had to have like a purchase receipt for it for them to even take the donations. I heard stories of a donut shop bringing 100 dozen donuts to one of the shelters, and they took them and they threw them away. because they didn't meet their requirements for donations. And you see, I saw a bunch of different plates where, you know, these Red Cross dinners, where they were feeding people, and it was just despicable, you know. And then the Red Cross issued apologies for this and that, and
but they don't change.
I didn't donate to them before.
Yep, but they don't change. They did the exact same thing out here, Josh. You know, that's the Red Cross. It's what they do.
But my understanding,
they were starting
to
people down for preaching. They were telling people you couldn't read your Bible in the Red Cross shelters, and they were keeping evangelists from entering the shelters and praying with the people. So, yeah, Red Cross pretty much showed its true colors the last several catastrophes.
Well, I want to do them this favor. I want to say that if any of you out there are supporting the Red Cross, please do some research on them.
Yes.
And reconsider whether or not that's an organization that you want to get behind.
Right. You know, there's one organization, I haven't heard about it from a while, but John, I think you had told us about it a while back. I think it's called, is it Mercy Chefs? Basically just that, chefs, and they are registered and signed up to help in time of need, and that's what they do. They go into these areas, especially with the hurricanes and that type of stuff. And I know they went down into West Texas after they had that that explosion and fire and wiped out half the town of leveled so much of it, and they do something similar to that. Set up and just start, you know, they just feed people. And so there are, I just mentioned that because there are other organizations that you can support that are from more of a truer Christian perspective, indeed, if not in word.
You know, and then those of us that didn't have major damage, we're just so thankful that we didn't. You know, what does it hurt you to donate some money, you know?
Right.
I think that's the way everyone felt, that the least I could do is try to do this or do that. And I've heard that quoted, that, oh, it was the least I could do. You know, people felt guilty for not getting flooded when everybody around them had lost everything they had, you know. So they were trying to do anything they could do to help those others in need. And that's encouraging to me. And I believe that's why this storm did not, or this catastrophe, disaster, whatever you want to call it, that didn't get the media coverage, is because to a large extent, the people down here passed the test on it. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. They didn't look for somebody else to look to or to blame. You know, they just did what needed to be done. And
yeah, you sure didn't hear much about it at all.
No, very little.
I talked to Jason, I think, 2 weeks after the fact. And Jason, wasn't that the first you'd heard about it?
Yeah, that was the first I'd heard about it. It was at least a week, 10 days after it.
Well, it was quite a while. I don't remember. It's just kind of all a blur. But he's like, oh, so what you been up to? And I'm like, huh? What do you mean, what have I been up to? And, you know, Jason stays up on the news. But like I said, it didn't fit the mold of their disasters that they like to show, you know. And I'm thankful that it didn't. But back to that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. You know, and there wasn't a bunch of people sitting around saying, you know, why me, and cursing God, and, you know, they took it. And some people saw it for what it is, other people didn't. But when we have a situation like that, God's given us an opportunity to grow. And, you know, this was a heck of a test run for what we got coming ahead, you know, for these people that got to experience that. And I'm thankful for it. And I know that the Lord provides for us, and He always has, and He always will for His people. We just gotta we got to do as he said. Don't forget his teachings and keep his commandments.
Amen.
And we will prosper.
Amen. And that's that pause when everybody was drinking their coffee at the very same time. But, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we are coming to you live this Saturday morning. And we can open the phone lines up, 307-745-5913. Jason mentioned the 91st day today in his prayer, so we want to remind you of that. 91st day is starts 1 o'clock in whatever time zone you're in today, because I think we're in the daylight savings time, and starts at 1 o'clock today till 1 o'clock tomorrow, runs pretty much for the Sabbath. And that's kind of what the 91st days are, is they're a type of a Sabbath between the seasons. And we have some information on that. We have a 91st days packet available to you, and you can order that off the website at scriptures4america.org. If you'd like some information on that as to just what they are, and they tie in with the Passover, and so we have that available for you, the 91st days packet, if you'd like it. We encourage you to take a Sabbath today at the after lunch. Take a Sabbath. And it's part of that obedience, Josh, that you were reading from Proverbs. It really is. Now, we are to work. You know, that's part of the curse that came with Adam. You know, it's by the sweat of our brow that we are to work, to have food. Doesn't mean we all have to have gardens, but, we are to work. We are. But there's guidelines for work. You know, we're to work 6 days. And we're to take a day off to honor God, and that day is those are probably more important days to do that than it is to work the other six, or at least as important. And so, it's part of it. And God in His infinite wisdom, especially for His agricultural people of Adam, that He created and said tend the garden, He knew that when you worked hard, you needed some time off to rest and recuperate. And He wanted to give us days where we could just remember Him and worship Him. And that's what these Sabbaths are. We seem, we are so busy as a society, as Christians today. And that word, being under Satan's yoke, that's exactly what it is. And we have to guard ourselves with that. So we encourage you, take this day. Take this day, read the 91st Psalms, pray the 91st Psalms, study the 91st Psalms, believe the 91st Psalms, and apply it to your life. And realize as a repentant, baptized Christian, it does apply.
Yep, 1 o'clock today to 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Well, and that's, God doesn't miss anything. And as you said, it's work 6 days and rest the seventh. It's just not either or. And, but he gives us His word but let your heart keep My commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you. So you may still, I've been more guilty probably than anybody else on working on Sundays, and that's something I have been working and trying to do better on. That's what we all are in life. We're a work in progress. But if we steal those Sundays from Him, if He's going to add length of days and years of life and keep His commandments, it makes sense that we will lose length of days and years of life if we don't keep His commandments.
Yeah, amen.
In Louisiana, anyway.
Yeah. Amen. Well, guys, let's go to the phone lines.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. It's Steve from Oklahoma.
Good morning.
And morning. I was wondering what they call the immigration or refugees, but it's really an invasion, and it's a slow invasion of our country. I guess Congress is considering a bill to fund an increase and allow an increase in the refugees. And certainly if Hillary gets in, it's supposed to increase even more in the coming years. And what's interesting is apparently they're putting them into predominantly white Christian little towns. Boise is a big one that's getting quite a few. And I'm afraid over time we're going to end up like Europe where, you know, you hear every day that some refugee raping or assaulting someone or police or just, you know, average citizen. And I know that prayer is most important. And, of course, trying to rise up against it, you can't fight the world's strongest army, our army. And no one seems to be recognizing what's happening because it's so slow. And so I was just wondering what you guys would recommend people do to protect themselves and their families, as this is probably not going to get any better.
Well, it does start with prayer, as you said. You know, when you get up in the morning, we got to recognize that we live in a perilous time, in a dangerous world. So
yes.
you know, pray for that covering. You pray on that full armor. You pray that the Lord will watch over and protect you and your family and then his remnant. Pray for the remnant, certainly. But then also pray that he will show you, that he'll lead your path, that he will, you know, be that guide to you. And I pray that he shows me what I should do, if there's any preparations I should make, if there's anything that I need to get to do for my family.
Yes.
Whether it be guns or ammo or whatever. You said that you can't take on that army, and I agree with you. In the physical sense, we will be, you know, it would be ridiculous to think that you could, but in a spiritual sense, you know, we got to depend on God to win this battle, but to win it with our hands. You know, we got to be willing, if he sends you to do something, we got to be willing to do it. But just seeking his will and being in his will always would be my answer to what we should do to protect ourselves and our families.
I think about the kids growing up today, and when they, you know, 10, 20 years from now, what our country's going to look like if we continue down this road. And, you know, I look at Europe and I see us in the future.
Well, my children have a lot better. I'm hoping and praying that my children are going to be twice the Christian men and women that I am, because I'm doing my best to give them an upbringing that I didn't have, with knowledge of the Word and the true salvation. I'm trying to give them the tools that they need to be able to be conquerors, to be able to be those Gideon elite that'll stand up and that will win. You know, we got to watch. We got to take our thoughts captive. And that's where the battle is fought and won, is in our minds. And that's why they come at us from every angle with the media, and they try to beat us mentally, because they know if they can beat you in your head, they've got you physically. And so you got to see what's going on around you, but you can't let that break your spirit. We got to have faith in the Lord and see the unseen, those angels that are out there that are ready to war for us. And we just got to call on them and trust on them and do our part.
Amen.
Do you guys see this whole sitting down at the national anthem that started with that Colin Kaepernick? Now it's happening in high schools and colleges. Do you see that as something that just one more way to wear down our country, to where one day they're going to say, well, just don't say it anymore, don't sing it?
Yeah, I think it just represents a lawlessness, a lack of respect, a lack of, you know, just another falling away, you know, is how I look at it. You know, the country of our fathers and the country of their fathers is no more, and I think that this is just showing that's what it is, that, you know, the country is dying. because it's abandoned God. And I think that's just one of the, I mean, you know, you look at the crime, you look at, like you had mentioned, the slow invasion that we are funding and paying for. It's absolute insanity, you know. It is that we are in the days that good is called evil and evil is called good. And so, you know, when policemen are shot and ambushed, that's called good. When there's disrespect in the land, that's called good. And it's the insanity of Babylon that is upon us. It really is. And this is just one more, you know, one more little thing. If the people would be, you know, more interested in reading Hosea 4:6 to see why we're in this mess, and 2 Chronicles 7:14 to see how to get out of this mess that we're in, then that's where the answers are. It really is.
I was listening to Michael Savage, it was yesterday, and he had a guy call in. He was on the terrorism task force for NYPD, and in the news they talked about this guy that had a hatchet, and I guess he, whatever you call it, he hit the NYPD officer in the face with the hatchet, and when they showed it on the regular news, they didn't say anything about him being Muslim, and in fact, when they showed him, he looked almost white, and I didn't think much of it until I heard this officer talk about it, and that he was Muslim, and they had been on their watch list, they had been watching him, but because of the rules, they couldn't do anything with him, and then he ended up doing this, and so it makes me wonder how often these things are happening across the country, that they're suppressing it, so that no one connects the dots, that it's getting worse.
Oh, it's happening all over. Just like was mentioned earlier when Josh mentioned, you know, it was 10 days before, you know, we even realized that the flooding and the loss of life and the, you know, 500,000 people impacted. It's 10 days before that's out in the national news, and so there are lots of things going on that are not out on CNN, that MSNBC doesn't cover. You know, to tell you that, oh, guess what's happening? Chicago has got the most stringent gun laws of any city in the nation. And they have had over 3,000 people shot this year already. And, you know, 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds shot, 6-year-old girl shot, 10-year-old girl shot. You don't hear nothing about it because it's blacks shooting blacks. So you hear nothing about it. And so it's just part of the controlled media. Well, Dee, thanks so much for the call. Interesting comments.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
You know, I mentioned earlier praying for our remnant, and that is a very important thing. I've heard stories that men have shared where they wake up in the middle of the night and not know why, but the Lord put it on their hearts to pray for someone. And they would do it. They would be obedient. They'd pray for these people. And then later on down the road, they would find out that, you know, there was something catastrophic that almost happened to this person, but they were delivered. And, so that's that obedience. When the Lord puts it on your heart, if you wake up at 3:00 in the morning, if you got somebody on your mind and you think, you know, and the Holy Spirit's leading you to pray, do it. Because we don't know what's going on. He doesn't need us to know. He just wants us to be obedient and to do what we're told. And gosh, that's just so important to have obedience to line up to be in order.
Yes. Amen.
That's what the 91st days are all about as well, you know. When we pray that 91st Psalm, we have to believe it too.
Amen. Amen. You know, part of it, the plague will not come near my tent. There's plagues out there. Oh, man, there's plagues out there. You know, Zika's the latest. That's just, you don't hear much about it in the news, but it's popping up here and there. Because it's as we're wrapping up summertime, we've talked before about leprosy. two kids in California come down with leprosy, and the question is, nobody can figure out how they got it. With leprosy here in the United States. You know, they call it Hansen's disease instead of calling it leprosy. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but they call it Hansen's disease. And they say there's over 6,000 people in the United States that have it. Yeah, there's plagues out there. But I believe, as the 91st Psalm says, that plague won't come near my tent. Because I dwell in the shelter of the Most High.
Amen.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, we had this, you know, you got the floods out there now. We had the fires back here a couple years ago. We had the floods out here a couple years ago, and it was the same thing. I mean, going back, and you look at these organizations, and it seemed like, you know, the FEMAs and the Red Cross and the, all the organizations, the big names that you always see that always get the news coverage in front of the, you know, in front of the TV cameras or on the, you know, on the radio, hounding people for donations. They were the ones that showed up really after the fact, when everything else had kind of settled and everybody else was doing what they could to help and didn't do a darn thing to help anybody. But they had their tent set up and were taking donations all over the place. And I think that's just kind of the way that they work. I mean, I don't really think that they do much of anything. I know they sure didn't out here. You know, it was kind of amazing how many people, you know, that I had talked to in the area that, you know, would donate money to them, and there was a lot of people that did, because, you know, there was a lot of people in need when we had the fires and floods and, you know, these stuff was taking place. And, you know, when it came down to people trying to get something from them, they didn't get nothing from them.
Yeah, then they show up with all the highest tech equipment and expensive vehicles and everything else, and
they want volunteers and they want people to donate, and they want people to donate their time, and they want people to donate food and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, they sure weren't doing nothing with it.
Yeah.
Well, sure, you know, it's nice to get that perspective.
It's sort of that, you know, they're capitalizing on people's distress, you know. And, you know, I think that that's one of the things that I was encouraged about this thing down in Louisiana was, you know, that people came out. They weren't looking out for themselves, and they weren't, you know, thinking, how am I going to get myself in front of a video camera, or, you know, they wanted to help people. And that's what it's, you know, I mean, that's really where people need to be. And, you know, everything is changing in society. I remember, you know, when I'm trying to think how long ago it was. You know, over 20 years ago, living at the ranch, I remember me and John's brother, Monty, he came down to the house one morning, came in there and said, come on, we got to go. And I said, where are we going? And he said, that, well, there was a four-year-old girl that was lost up in the woods camping. And so we strapped our guns on and we got in the truck and we headed out and we went out and we met up. There was a search party and there were sheriff's deputies out there. There was this out there. There was all kinds of people that came out to look, and we talked to them, and there was four of us, and we went up, talked to the deputy and said, well, we're going this direction, and, you know, we had maps and everything, and we went and covered an area, and it was, we weren't trained, and we weren't trained in search and rescue. You know, we knew our way around the mountains, and that was about it. And, you know, but there was no problem with, you know, us going out and trying to help on a search and rescue. And that changed just a few years after that, where next thing you know is, well, if you wanted to be on there, you know, and it slowly crept in where, well, are you part of the sheriff's posse? Are you part of search and rescue? You know, this and that. And it was like, no, we don't really want to be a part of anything. When somebody's in need, we want to be able to go and help. And, you know, they've taken that and they've twisted and turned it and changed it and, you know, made it where in certain ways that where you can't follow God's law and you can't help your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor as yourself. You, I mean, and,
it's taken that and put a regulation and red tape in between being able to look out after your own.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so refreshing to hear Josh's perspective of how the people stepped in and did what they had to do, what they were convicted to do by the Holy Spirit, no matter what the authorities said. That, to me, that's what's refreshing, is to hear that.
Well, and they showed wisdom. They didn't sit there and argue with the authorities. You know, they turned around, went back, and went down the road where they couldn't see them, and
yeah.
backed their boat off on the side of the interstate, and went to work. You know, and you gotta be Holy Spirit led on how to handle those situations, where you can still follow God's law, but not have a run in, you know, or a big battle or a conflict with those who are. Trying to keep the world's law, and
amen.
Sometimes it's inevitable. I understand that, but you know,
don't cast your pearls before the swine.
Right. Yep.
Amen. Yeah.
But as I told you, Richard, you know, if you're interested in coming down here and signing up, registering for the Louisiana, whatever they call their boaters group, there's no line at the registration office.
Okay.
You can walk right in.
You don't need to call for an appointment, huh? The no line at the door.
No, they're,
yeah.
They're pretty open.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, Pastor used to talk about that, about getting on lists, you know? We have some of that out here, you know, who can help in an emergency, who can, you know, who's got room to take horses or cattle if there's a fire here and there. And, you know, they always want these lists. And once you sign it up, and the people out here are pretty leery about doing that. But, you know, when there's a fire or you know, we had a little flood here a few years ago as well and stuff, the people come out of the woodwork. They do. And, you know, hey, I'm here. Can we help? And your phone's ringing, and you know people are volunteering, and so it is encouraging when you see that. It is that it's another mark of true Israel, of the law of God written on the people's hearts, which is part of the new covenant. You know, if you know, our prayers that that these signs that God sends, you know, people would open up, open their eyes, they'd come out of their slumber and see these things for what they are. Josh, like you read out of Proverbs, you know, don't when God sends a little discipline down, don't curse God for it. You know, grow with it, go with it. Take the opportunity to either be blessed by it or to bless others, you know, in the situation. And but when the people are removed from their God, removed from their Bible, when they're not reading their Bible, when they're not seeing it, they haven't been taught this stuff, they don't know. You know, you read back through the Old Testament, there's times that, you know, they would find the law, they'd find the book of the law, and they'd read it, and it would pierce them to the heart at times. You know, they'd cry out to God, they'd call for fasting and weeping and repentance, and they put their foreign wives away, and you know, because they found the law, they found and finally realized why, you know, they were in captivity, why the world was coming against them, and I think that's one of our enemy's greatest fears, is that his people will one day find out, because they will, they will realize one day, I hope so anyway, you know that. That it's our sin that has gotten us to this point, but it's repentance that gets us out.
And that's the only way. And you know, in situations like that, as the saying goes, when the chips are down, or when somebody's really in a bind, that's when you find out who a person is. You know, they don't have time to be fake or put up haters. Right. You know, when you're backing that boat in there and that flood current's coming down through there and you see a big oak tree roll over the top of a bridge railing, you know, on a road that's flooded, you realize how dangerous what
yes.
you're about to do is.
Yeah. Yep.
And, but yet they still did it anyway because they were not worried about themselves as much as they were worried about the other people. And, you know, there's quite a few boats lost. I heard of different ones, you know, of the things happening. You know, thankfully the people were able to be rescued. So, I mean, all that didn't come without loss. And there was a man 15 miles from here that had went out to try to help another guy that was stranded and out in the water, and he ended up having his vehicle washed away and he drowned. You know, I'm not in any way downplaying the casualties that were, that did take place, you know, and I know there's a lot of hurting and suffering going on, and I pray for those people and we're going to try to help do whatever I can do. But my point was just that it could have been so much worse.
Right.
Than what it was, and I'm thankful that it wasn't.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it's one of those things you just got to remember. You know, it's you know, don't put your trust in man either. You know, we put our trust in God, and that's where we need to be. And we just need to remember that. And you know, I mean, it's things are changing. We're living in exciting times, but you know, and it's gonna be. I think that we're headed into the times where people are going to be dependent on their neighbor. More than these government agencies. I mean, you look at these agencies, and you know the billions and billions of dollars that they bring in. It's just a money deal to them. You know, I mean, these organizations are, you know, plumb filthy rich for the most part. You know, and it's not about the money. When it comes down to it, it's about helping your neighbors, helping people out. You know, doing the right thing, having the law of God on your heart, and. You know, I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future, because I think that's where everything's heading.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, we looked at several months ago in the Dragon Slayer newsletter, the scripture in Deuteronomy, I don't have it handy, but that warned us to keep the Ten Commandments before our eyes, to put them on our doorposts and our gates, and to on our frontal of our forehead, and to teach them to all generations. And you can see where the enemy, you know, Pastor would always tell us that the enemy understands the Bible better than most Christians. And they understood that if they could remove those Ten Commandments, that was the beginning, you know, of the, well, it's probably before that, but it was a huge part in the destruction of the morality of the Christians.
Amen. Amen. And then Pastor
right.
did.
I mean, it,
and then Pastor did an end run on them, you know, and he got the Ten Commandments back in the public schools.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, and you may say, well, how did he do that? And it's, well, they called him one time, you know, and people that put an anti-drug magazine into the public schools here in Wyoming, and asked if he would advertise. And Pastor asked him, he said, well, can I put anything in there I want? And they said, well, you know, if it's within reason. And he said, how about the Ten Commandments in a magazine that goes into the public school? And the salesperson said, hold on, let me ask my manager. And she did. And she came back and said, yep, that'd be fine. He said, I'll take a half-page ad. And you know that
yeah.
same salesperson
still do.
That
yep.
same salesperson that's been about 10 years calls back every year, and you know every year we say yes, and they send us some magazines, and they do. It's the Ten Commandments. It goes into the school, and you know, and it at least is still before their eyes. And so, you know,
yeah.
that's one of the things we do here at Scriptures for America Ministry. And if you support us, now don't think that's cheap. You know, that's not that costs a little more than $3.99. Okay, it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars to do that. But if you support us here, then you know you have a part in getting the Ten Commandments before the eyes of the children in the public schools. Anyway, thought occurred to me. You had something else, John? We're about out of time. About five more minutes here.
No, I was just going to let everybody know that hard at work on the next volume of Dragon Slayer newsletter, and Lord willing, we'll start printing that early next week, and be sending it out towards the end of next week. And so keep that in your prayers too, if you would. Might want to invite people to church in the last few minutes.
Sure. And that newsletter, you can get it, folks. We send it out free of charge. It's like everything else. It's, you know, there's no free lunch, as our pastor used to say. It sure costs to put that newsletter together, and it takes it just about a week to print it, and we've been working on it for about at least a week. So there's cost associated with it, but we'll send you a free copy if you'd like. And if you would like it, you can write to us at Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, and ask for the Dragon Slayer newsletter. We can email it to you as well in a full-color interactive PDF format. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And as John said, come to church with us tomorrow. If you're driving by, you can sure stop by in La Porte, Colorado. But you can come to church with us from your own home. You can join us at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. Just click on the live video stream, and you can join us there. And we'll have a scriptural insight in the morning. You'll see a welcome, probably by John. And John, reckon you've probably got a communion message for tomorrow as well. We hope so. So join us there, and you'll have you'll get to see John. You'll have some good Holy Spirit inspired music, and then a Holy Spirit inspired message. Well, men, thanks for joining us. We'll go out with a song this morning, and we do encourage, as you heard today, folks, say your prayers. We are to be a praying people, and in those prayers, pray for the remnant. Know that those of us here at Scriptures for America and the saints that are out there do that very thing. They pray for the remnant every day. It's one of the things we are to be doing, is praying for one another. Thanks a lot.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move
them
out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake
moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.